Welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast, and here's your host, J.T. Foreman.
Hello, and welcome to episode 53 of Bitter Comics. I am J.T. Foreman.
Woo!
And I am here with my good friend, the blue comedian himself, Danny Minch.
Hi.
Hi. You can find him at thebluecomedian.com. Actually, I don't think
he's on the website. No, you can't.
You should be able to find him at thebluecomedian.com. Actually, he's got the YouTube channel is like Blue Comedian or something, isn't it?
No, it's a. I have a fan page called Danny Minch the Blue Comedian on Facebook.
Okay.
Easiest way to get to me is just Google Danny Minch, M-I-N-C-H. And
yeah, you are the first Danny Minch that pops up on the list.
Yeah, first 13 pages.
First 13 pages, yes. Awesome. Cool. Well, hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on here. This is take three of the recording because I screwed it up the first two times. But we begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So, for my insensitivity in episode 52, I would like to apologize to black people, the right term, pot, and Danny Minch.
Huh?
That didn't sound natural. I knew that was coming. I shouldn't have hinted at you. I should have just let it go and made you...
Yeah, like, either way, though, it's our third take, and what? I still wouldn't have been organic about it.
Yeah, even if I hadn't telegraphed it, it would be no surprise at this point, because I screwed it up twice trying to get to this point. But, okay, yeah. So yes, I am apologizing to Danny Minch.
What?
For something that I said about him, in jest, of course, on the last episode of the podcast. There's a segment of the podcast that I often do called the 559 Text of the Week. And I will be doing this again this episode, of course, where I go to the website textfromlastnight.com. I look up the 559 area code because that's where I'm from and I want to support my town. And I find a text message from my area code to make fun of on the show. And the text that I made fun of last time was the following. Honestly, bro, I can't look at girls you've banged. It's like looking herpes in the face. And then, of course, I made a smart-ass comment, something like, was that sent to Danny Minch?
I can't really defend that statement.
No. Well, of course, Danny Minch does not have herpes, as far as I'm aware. So,
as far as I'm aware, either.
Yeah, well, you would know.
Oh, okay.
So Danny Minch does not have herpes. Don't worry if you fuck Danny Minch. It's okay to go bareback, as long as pregnancy isn't what you're worried about. You will get pregnant, by the way, if you have sex with Danny Minch bareback. He gets people pregnant.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
I've never had sex with a man, by the way, if my my kids are listening.
Oh, there we go. No, I was just joking. It just Danny Minch is famous for being able to pick up the chicks at the end of the comedy show. I sometimes think that's really the only reason he does stand-up comedy, is because chicks dig the comedians. They say that women love a sense of humor, and Danny makes the ladies laugh, both in and out of bed, I'm sure.
I hope so.
So, anyway, I apologize. It was cruel.
Apology accepted.
Totally out of line. Danny Minch does not have herpes. Well, anyway, if you'd like to know specifically why I'm apologizing to this and each of the other things, feel free to check out episode 53 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, just go to that website, scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or my Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and in the subject line, please put, Byron Campbell truly is the most interesting black man in the world.
He really is.
He really is. We were talking about that on the podcast last week, where he was talking about, we got into a discussion about the possibility of legalizing weed, and right now, comedy clubs often have a 2-drink minimum. And I think that if pot became legal, it would switch to a two inebriation item minimum. So you'd be able to get a drink and a stogie, you know, or a drink and a joint, or, you know, and he talking about how, you know, he'd be there, you know, he got a Hennessy in one hand. He said Hennessy in a sifter. I realize Hennessy is a stereotypically black drink, or at least I assume it is, because a black person mentioned it to me. anything a black person says to me, I assume is stereotypically black because I'm racist. Actually, it's just because I'm kind of sheltered.
You kind truthfully. Of.
You know, a lot of the ethnic people out there, when a white person says something insensitive, consider the possibility that they grew up in a town like Clovis, California, where there just aren't any minorities.
I really...
And we know nothing about you. It's not... I'm not an asshole. I'm just completely ignorant.
See, I don't have an excuse because I grew up in a neighborhood of half black and half white people.
So, oh, okay. Well, so yeah. Oh, so you're just racist.
Louisiana. All right. Yeah, I just chose sides. And I would like to apologize to black people. I'd like to take this time for just everything.
For everything?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I do apologize to black people at the beginning of every episode.
Oh, okay.
And in my apologies, black people is the first group that I apologize to every time. Just because I'm white and I probably owe black people an
apology. That's why I apologize.
And
reparations.
Exactly. So, thanks for coming to the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, the pizza is delicious.
It is. We went to, they're not paying us to advertise for them. I went to Sunnyside Pizza at Kings Canyon Clovis here in Fresno, California. And it is, in my opinion, the second best pizza in town. The best pizza is Dougie Fresh Pizza.
Which I've never had.
Which is, it's at the corner of Ashland and Fowler. And if you go there and get their $5 and it's hot and ready pizza, you know, they do the same thing that Little Caesars does, that's going to be shit because it's been sitting in the hot box for an hour and it's all soggy and stuff now. That's not going to be any good. You have to order a pizza and they'll make it for you fresh. That pizza is going to be really good. Especially their cheese. The cheese they use is outstanding. Dougie Fresh Pizza.
And they're not paying us to advertise.
They're not paying us either. In fact, they're probably going to charge me extra for the next pizza I order from them just because I mentioned them on my shitty podcast.
Is it actually Dougie Fresh who owns it?
The guy has the word Dougie on his shirt. It's D-O-U-G-G-H-Y.
Oh, no, that's not Dougie.
And he's a Japanese dude.
Oh, so or it's not Chinese. Or,
actually, you know what? I can't tell. He's some sort of Asian.
He's Dougie. Dougie.
Dougie.
Dougie.
I can't tell what kind of Asian a person is. I mean, there's this comedian named Craig Fitzsimmons. You've heard of him?
Black guy?
Guy. Irish Fitzsimmons.
Yeah.
You know. He talks about in his shows he'll do a Guess the Asian and he says he has about a 95% accuracy. I have no idea what kind of Asian person is. I have no idea what kind of Latino person a Latino person is, and I don't know what kind of white person a white person is. And all black people are just black people.
And my funny comedian, I can't even remember his name, but it was a black gentleman, and he said he saw two Asians talking at a clothing store. And one came out, and she goes, "Hey, are you Vietnamese?" And she goes, "No, I'm Korean." And he threw his arms up in the air and was like, "Yes, they can't tell either."
I have heard that joke. I do not remember where. And if it sounds like I'm eating while I'm talking, it's because I'm in. I am. I decided to take a bite of pizza.
It was really good pizza.
It was really good pizza. Seriously, if you're in the vicinity, check it out. And the nice thing about it is that it's like privately owned by a family that lives here. It's not some giant chain where someone in the middle of New York City is making billions of dollars off of you.
My favorite part of it was the cashier who said the pizza was $7, and then you handed him a 20, and he had to use a calculator to give you change.
Well, it was $13, and yeah, he had to use a calculator to give me change.
It was hilarious.
13 even, I gave him a 20, and he's got a cash register in front of him.
Right.
But he still pulls out a calculator to do the math, $20 minus 13, and he gives, to give me $7 change.
It was fantastic.
That was pretty awesome. I was like, wow, yeah, that's... He went to Fresno school.
I almost said something, but then I realized how prickish I was going to sound when I opened my mouth to the kid, so I just let it go.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funnier just to make fun of him when he's not around anymore.
It's way better that way.
Exactly. You know, I remember this one time. I was at a GameStop or something, and I went to pay for the thing, and the total came to like $9.82, and I give the guy $10.07. Now, for those of you out there capable of math, I should get a quarter change.
Consolidation is what you're doing.
Pretty much. I got a shitload of change in my pocket. I'm getting rid of of this the nickel and the two pennies, and I'm going to get a quarter back instead of getting two pennies and two dimes back and having the, you know. So, yes, exactly. I'm consolidating my change. And the guy, you know, he's got the cash register in front of him.
All he has to do is punch the numbers.
All he's got to do is punch the numbers, and he doesn't even have to think. But he doesn't even do that. He just kind of stares at it for a minute, like I handed him Israeli shekels or something. That is actually the Israeli currency, shekels. And, you know, it's, okay, fine, you're not good at math. Punch the number in the register. It'll do the math for you. All you got to do is add up the total of the coins that I just handed you, which was a nickel and two pennies. But
see, this happen yesterday, and I'm trying for the life of me to remember where it was, because my girlfriend looked at me and put her hand on me like, it's okay. Because I gave the guy an amount of change. Yes,
I just burped into the microphone. Sorry about that.
I gave him the amount of change so I would get a nickel back instead of four pennies. Right. And he handed me all my change back. And then punch the numbers of what he had in his hand into the register.
I've had that happen, too. Oh, my God, that pisses me off. I've had that happen, too, where I will give someone, you know, the money and the change, which I'm handing them a little bit more. You know, it's like, let's say it's $9.82, and they give them $10.07. And they will give me the 7 cents back and then punch in $10 and for it to do the math. Doesn't he get... I mean, how many customers does he have?
That he hands change back to.
That he has to hand change back to, and he's doing this to everybody. What is wrong with you that you have... I'm trying to get rid of the change. Why are you doing this? All you're doing is causing yourself to run out of change, and now you have to open up rolls of pennies and dimes and stuff later. I want to strangle these
people. I want to remember where it was at, but I was in so many places yesterday that it was incredible. So I cannot remember where I was at. I ended up watching a movie.
What movie did you see?
Gold Fools.
Gold Fools. Okay, yeah, you were telling me about that. It's done by a director here in Fresno.
Travis Clough. Who also wrote and starred as the lead of it. It was a pretty decent movie.
Cool. Is there a website someone can go to find out about it?
Yeah, goldfools.com. It's on Facebook. You can also go to Tremendium. On Facebook, which they're trying to get 1,000 likes. They're at like 500 right now. Tremendium actually does a lot of great short films.
Okay, I'll put a link to both goldfools.com and the Tremendium website in the show notes. So if you want to find out about it, just go to bittercomics.podbean.com, look up this episode 53, and you'll be able to find links to both of those.
And I also had sex with the only black woman that was in the movie.
Well, that's always good to know, and it's probably good for your girlfriend to know that. I'm sure you saw the movie with her,
yeah,
and you pointed this out to her.
Well,
right?
I said,
by the way, I fucked her.
I said we dated.
We dated,
which wasn't true, and then I had to amend what I said. I said, well, it wasn't really a date, and then she's like, I get it. You can stop talking now.
Shut up. You're ruining this, okay? Relationship's going good until you started talking about.
You know what? What's great about me and my girlfriend is I was a slut of all my friends, which you know.
Yes.
And
I wanted to be the slut, but I was not capable of pulling it off because of, you know, lack of confidence, whatever. I as much as I want to be the guy that fucks every woman I see, I can't pull it off. And that's one of the reasons I hate you so much.
What was
because
great.
You can.
Because your biggest pickup line to women at like after comedy shows was, Danny just wants to fuck you. I actually want to get to know you.
I only said that to one girl.
I know, but with the great...
And that girl... I given her my card after the show, not for her to call me. I hand my card out to everybody just because, you know, I want people to like me on Facebook, check out my videos on YouTube. She called me an hour and a half later and asked me for your fucking number.
Well, it's great. It's because his come online makes me look like a dog, which makes me look more attractive to the women.
Exactly, because you know what? All they're looking for is, and that's exactly what she said to me, too. It's like, well, you know, you seem like a really nice guy. But, you know, Danny seems more fun. And I'm just looking for a one-time thing. And, you know, with Danny, that'd be easy. I was like, you know what? I'm easy, too.
I can fuck you.
I can just fuck you and never call you again. I can do that.
I don't believe you could, though.
Yeah. we're going to argue about that as soon as we get back. JT Foreman, I'm here with Danny Minch. We're going to take a break real quick. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back.
Yay, that was fun.
This is JT Foreman. We are the Beta Comics, and we are back. All right, now just before we left, we talked about the girl who called me to ask for Danny Minch's phone number because she was looking to fuck. Those weren't my exact words, but that's pretty much the idea of what was going on. Now, what I'm curious, whatever happened to her, with her? Because
she's gorgeous, for one.
She was gorgeous. She's probably still is. She's gorgeous. And actually, I saw you with her a couple days later at another comedy show. But you know, I never got a chance to talk to you. What exactly happened with that little?
She just wanted to get to know me better. And
now she specifically said to me that she was just looking for some dick that night. She even used the word dick.
Well, you know what?
And you are kind of a dick, so I mean,
And she got the whole pie right there. And
so, and she asked me for a new number, and I tried talking her into, no, don't fuck Danny, he's an asshole. You should fuck me instead. And which I'm sure you understand.
No, I don't.
Well, I was trying to get some pussy. What do you want from
me? Yeah, that's true.
She called you, and so
nothing. Nah, I never
ever.
Never had sex with that one. She wanted to get to know me. I found out she was dumb as rocks. I mean, I will fuck a girl who's dumb as rocks. It is not a problem. But I am not going to continue to hang around with them for much after that, no matter how good looking they are. I'd rather have somebody I have a connection with.
Yeah.
If I'm going to pursue anything. And
well, you know, if just sex means, you know, you're there for a limited amount of time and then you leave. But you get into a relationship with someone and you have to hang out with them for extended periods of time.
You gotta like them.
And, you know, once the orgasm is over and the penis goes down and the blood is back up in the brain, now it's looking for stimulation. And she was leaving you with a limp brain, basically, is what you're telling me.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And she seemed like the type of girl that also liked bling. In other words, you're going to take me out, you're going to buy me dinner, you're going to buy me drinks, do that out of self-preservation because I have no money.
Yeah, you know, if I were made of money, for one thing, I wouldn't be with this chick, but beyond that, I wouldn't mind, you know, buying all kinds of stuff for the girl who's sucking my dick if I had tons of money. You know, that wouldn't bother me at all. But the girl, she knows I'm broke. It's like my girlfriend now. She knows I'm broke. She knows not to expect jewelry all the time. She knows not, you know, I take her out and we have a good time, but, you know, she knows that I'm not going to be buying her $1,000 bracelets and $2,000 rings and everything. You know, she's, honestly, unless something happens to my income stream that increases it greatly, probably the only jewelry I ever buy her, and I hope she doesn't ever listen to this episode, is going to be the engagement ring and the wedding ring.
Yeah, and which is the most important piece of jewelry.
You know, I'm going to save up and I'm going to buy something nice for that. But if I had money to flush, it wouldn't bug me. But I don't have money to flush.
No, I don't either.
And if I spent $1,000 to buy her a tennis bracelet, I would feel like I was flushing $1,000.
Yeah, and here's my thing. I still flush money on women.
I don't even like to buy flowers, to be honest.
I am not.
Because I know they're going to be dead in 2 weeks.
I unfortunately do not get attracted to women that care about flowers.
Well, actually, you know what I did was I bought her flowers that were in a pot because I knew her mom would end up planting it in the garden. So now that plant is still alive now, and I gave it to her 4 months ago.
Now, see, that's cool.
You know, so I was like, you know, I'm adding something to her garden. So the thing is still alive.
To me, giving girls flowers is giving them death. Yeah. Pretty death. Here's some pretty death for you.
Yeah.
It's like making up your grandma before you bury
her. Yeah, might as well give
She's dead.
Yeah, you might as well give him a Marilyn Manson album if you're going to buy him flowers. You're just giving him pretty death.
Pretty death. Wow. That's fantastic.
I just thought of that. It just popped in my head. I'm so proud of myself.
I am too.
I threw in a Marilyn Manson reference. Of course, this is pop culture from 15 years ago. Wow. But still.
To us, it was yesterday.
Hey, One thing I thought of, and I never got a chance to do this as a bit on stage, and now seems a good time to say it. I'm going to go ahead and say this now. Do you think Alice Cooper and Gallagher ever got together, watched tapes of Marilyn Manson and Carrot Top, and said, I know I've seen this shit before somewhere?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, it just I always when they were first out and big, and you know what, I'm going to be seeing Carrot Top later this week when I go.
I've seen him in concert.
I'm looking forward to it. I've heard it's really funny.
It is.
But I always hear people talking about how Carrot Top is so original. He's doing prop comedy. This is not a new thing.
No.
The props will be different than props that other people have done. I'm sure. You know, he's not going to roll out the giant trampoline that's shaped like a couch, like Gallagher did in one of his concerts. He's going to have different props, right. But it's still prop comedy.
Here's the thing, though. He doesn't do primarily prop comedy. That's
really?
Yeah. He does.
The last
10 minutes of his act is prop comedy.
So that's a misconception of mine.
It's
like Gallagher being known as only the watermelon guy, right. Even though that's
he had some
bit
very intelligent bits before that on the English language that he had a chalkboard. That he would dissect the English language, I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, and you know, I
just didn't really care for his smashing stuff. That was just hokey. I actually do like Carrot Top's props because he puts a lot of thought into them and he makes his own props.
Yeah.
So it's actually something kind of organic from him that he's spewing back on you. But I went and saw him at the old Warner's Theater, which is now the Warner's Theater. They changed the A to an O, and now it's still Warner's Theater.
Yeah, the A fell off, and they were like, "Well, we can buy a new A, or we can
o
just change the name
yeah.
of it and put the O up that we already have."
Actually, it was another family bought it, and since it was known as the Warner's Theater, and they were not allowed to keep the name Warner's Theater, they changed the E to an O, and was able to keep it.
You know, the Sears Tower was sold like a year and a half ago. I don't remember what the new name of the tower is, but I do remember when they said the name of it in the new Transformers movie, they did say the new name. They didn't say Sears Tower.
Oh,
I can't remember what the new name of the Sears Tower is, but you know, it's I was born in Loyola University Hospital outside Chicago. So it's like the Sears Tower is one of the most well-known landmarks in the world, you know. When the new people bought it, they went and changed the name. And I saw a news report where people who living in Chicago were saying, fuck that, that's the Sears Tower. It's been the Sears Tower, it will always be the Sears Tower. And that's not going to last long. People are going to get used to the new name.
People are so, well, we're so programmed by television that our attention spans have waned so much. And the things that we get irate about won't last about 12, 13 minutes. And then we move on to life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because really, what a building is called is not half as much as you having to go out and find a job and pay your bills and, you know, worry about your kid marrying a black person and all that kind of stuff that's really important.
Well, you know, if I found out my kid was marrying a black person, I'd be like, when did I get a kid?
And I'd be like, why did they change the name of the Sears Tower? Okay. And do they have any relatives I can date?
I'm going to have to apologize to black people again and our kids.
Yeah. a funny story about that, because I date a lot of black people. And
you've dated many black women in the past. Let's not just say black people.
Yeah.
Let's be specific. You haven't dated any black guys that I know of. Well, not many.
I went on a few bro dates, but and those were actual bro dates too, because it was my bro. Another comedian was explaining that to his girlfriend. His girlfriend had a kid, and we decided to go out to the park. Her and her kid, and him. And me and my kid, and then I was already out at the park, and we were playing on my son was playing on the monkey bars or whatever, and she walked up to the blackest child out there and started talking to him, and I was like, why are you, she's like, oh, that's not your kid? I was like, I have a bad reputation. No, mine's actually the white kid. I'm sorry.
They just assume that your kid must be a black kid.
It's not the first time it's happened. People assume that I have black children, which I don't. It's not by lack of trying. It's just
they just insisted you use condoms.
Oh, no. No, it's just they never got pregnant off of me. See, I had sex with my girlfriend before we started dating.
Yeah, see, unprotected sex is awesome. I have to say, it's so much better than a condom.
Oh, it's way better. And our first time was unprotected.
Yeah.
And pretty much ever since then. And it was funny because she's a comedian too, and she had a bad set.
Well, I mean, is she on the pill?
She was at the time.
Okay, so it's not unprotected then. Well, it's just bareback.
It's still unprotected because you can still get something from it.
Well, you know, I've always considered parenthood to be the deadliest of all STDs.
Yeah, there you go.
Because that truly will end your life. It that will kill you slowly.
Yeah, believe me, I know.
I mean, at least with AIDS, 10 years and you're gone.
You know, unless you're Magic Johnson.
Parenthood is like forever.
Yeah. And what happened was I was on a date with another girl, and she wasn't going to put out. She told me she wanted to get to know me better before she was going to put out, and I was appalled. And so I'm on the way home, and I get a text from this girl saying, I had a bad set at Ty Palms tonight. I'm really depressed. And I said, you should come over and cuddle. And so she's like, okay. And so I said, I'll leave the front door open. Here's my address. And she walked in, and it was one of the greatest things ever because she walked in the bedroom, and she pulled her pants off and her panties, and she goes, I cuddle with no pants on. And I was like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we had sex, and I kicked her out of the bed, and I said, go home. And that was our first encounter, and I was like, that's the end of that. And then she called me up the next day, and
I'd like to cuddle with no pants on again.
Yeah, basically.
If you don't mind.
And then about a week later, she was with another guy, and I was with another girl because I'm a slut and she's a slut. And
well, you know, people always use the term slut in as a derogatory term. I prefer to refer to it as sexually generous.
Yes. So we're sexually generous.
Exactly.
And she was having sex with this lawyer, and she's telling me about it. One night, while we're laying naked, and she's like, yeah, I had sex with this lawyer. He wants me to have sex with him in every room of his house, and he brought me to his house, and she goes, he wasn't that good, which always makes me feel better, because it feels like I'm doing something right. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, let me ask you a question. Are you laying in bed telling the lawyer about the comedian you're fucking? And she's like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
So that shows where comedians are on the food chain.
That's right. Well, you know what? We have this willingness to say anything when we're on stage. So people, they believe that they can tell us everything, which of course they can. And we are generally discreet enough that if we tell others about your story, we will change the names to protect the guilty.
And we'll be vague enough.
And we'll be vague enough. Because we'll tell the story about it ourselves, and you know, and like you wouldn't be using her name if she were not a comedian also,
right?
You know, and she will she talks about this kind of stuff on stage all the
absolutely.
Time too. You know, and that's another thing about comedians is that we will say anything. I mean, if I'm willing to get up on stage in front of 150 strangers and talk about the time that I lost my virginity.
Now, Joel will say anything. He was in front of a crowd of about 75 black people, and he dropped the N-word one time.
Twice, actually.
Yeah.
And you know what? I still say the joke was funny. It was. The joke was hilarious.
I did not think the joke was funny.
Well, you're allowed to not think that.
I was in an interracial relationship kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
with a black girl.
Gorgeous black girl.
She is a gorgeous black girl. She's really beautiful. Oh my gosh.
She was gorgeous. A Hooters waitress at one point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she was a Hooters waitress. She's gorgeous. We're going to take a break again real quick. I am JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics.
Yay!
And we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right.
Funnel cakes.
We keep ranting on about other stuff. We haven't actually gotten to any of the material that I actually planned for the show yet. Let's start with this. A couple days ago, all right, so my girlfriend and I we're leaving for Las Vegas tomorrow morning. At least that was the plan. And she feels guilty that she's leaving her daughter with her parents for a week. So she decided she wanted to take her parents and her daughter to the Island Water Park yesterday. And okay, cool. We were going to Island Water Park. We get to Island Water Park, and she wants a funnel cake. Now, I don't know if any of you out there have ever had a funnel cake. Danny being from Louisiana, right?
Louisiana, yeah.
That is apparently the home of the funnel cake.
Yes, it is.
So he's intimately familiar with funnel cakes, but it's not something that I've really had a lot of experience with. Let me describe a funnel cake to you. Here's what you do. You take some pancake batter, And then you deep fry it.
Yummy.
And that's it.
That's it. Cinnamon and sugar on top.
Yeah, it's cinnamon and sugar. I think it would taste better with ice cream, personally, just looking at it. But it was good. It was really good. But it's still, I think it's called the funnel cake, because it would actually be healthier for you to take a funnel and just pour the batter into your mouth than to actually eat it the way they cook it. Because it's like, I've never had pancakes and thought, you know what this needs? This needs grease.
Yeah. Well, here you go. If you want it with ice cream, go to Denny's, because they have pancake puppies, which are basically
yeah, that's true. And you know what? I get the pancake puppies a lot.
Sunday. Have you got the Sunday?
Pancake puppy Sunday, yes. It's awesome.
I have some pancake puppies out of my car right now that I never ate. They're probably still good.
They're hot, and they're melted, and they're gooey, and they're probably still good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we got the funnel cake, and here's the thing. She's a really beautiful woman.
Yes, she is.
But she's constantly telling me it's my fault that she's gaining weight, but then she's always
eating fried bread.
Eating fried bread, and when we're together, she'll also complain that I'm gaining weight, and then she'll get mad at me if I don't want to eat something. And she'll say, "Oh, you're just showing off." I said, "Well, no, I'm tired of you making fun of me." She'll rub my belly and say, "It's kicking."
Is it kicking?
No, it's not kicking. Okay. It's like she's making fun of the fact that my stomach is so fat that it looks like I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
So she'll rub my belly and say it's kicking. So she'll make fun of me for being fat, and then she'll yell at me for showing off if I don't want to eat something.
If I were you, I would swallow a live baby whole.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, and then have it actually kicking.
Well, you know, the reason that I am pro-choice is because so many pregnant women have said to me, the baby is kicking. And I always think to myself, what kind of an asshole kicks a pregnant woman? I think you need to kill that kid.
That's a horrible child.
Yes, that is a horrible child. It's kicking a pregnant woman.
From the inside.
From the inside. Shame on you. What's wrong with you? You live in there. It's a good thing there's no windows. You would have broken them by now.
Kick your own home.
Okay, so then we get to and this is when I realize what a horrible human being I am. We get home about 7 o'clock. We're back to her place. And, you know, she talked for a few minutes, and then I went home. And then about 10 o'clock last night, this is Sunday that we're speaking right now, the 8th of July. It was the 7th of July, Saturday, when we went to the water park. And last night about 10 o'clock, I get a text message from her saying that her daughter has 103 degree fever.
Which is horrible.
And of course, the first thing that I thought to myself was, great, this is going to screw up our trip to Las Vegas.
Which is perfectly normal.
No, that's terrible.
It is terrible.
I should be thinking about, oh my gosh, her poor daughter has 103 degree temperature. I hope her poor daughter is okay. This little girl is sick. And then I also thought to myself, okay, so the second thing I thought to myself was, if she hadn't insisted we go to that damn water park,
her kid wouldn't have got sick.
See, I'm a horrible human being. That's all there is to it. I mean, her daughter has got a fever. She's worried about leaving her kid alone with, you know, she feels bad about leaving her kid alone with her, leaving her kid with her parents for a week while she goes on vacation. And all I can think about is the fact that our trip, which I intended to fill with as much debauchery as possible, is getting ruined.
And here's why you're not
a
bad person.
I'm terrible.
This is why you're a better person than most people.
Okay, why am I a better person than most people?
Because most people would have that exact same thought, the exact same feelings, and then internalize it and hold it on the inside. That's why comics are actually great people to hang around
yes,
with.
Yes, that's right. We are the philosophers of our day.
Yeah,
really.
Because if you have something stuck in your teeth, we're going to make a joke about something stuck in your teeth. And if there's something stuck in our teeth, we're going to make a joke about something stuck in our teeth. But you're going to know there's something stuck in your teeth.
Yes.
And so now that you've
now that you know of the problem, you can do something about
right.
it.
Right. But most people will get mad at somebody for something else because they're mad about this situation.
Yeah.
And then they'll find another reason to go off on them because they can't go off on them on this situation because, well, that would be horrible to be mad at them for that, even though internally they are. They're very upset.
That's right.
And what's great about us is we get to spew that out.
Yeah, well, you know, I've told you my theory on the difference between a comedian and a normal person, right?
No.
Okay, here's the difference. Everyone has horrible thoughts that pop into their head, like, great, her daughter has 103 degree temperature. This is ruining my vacation. Everyone has those thoughts.
Right.
A normal person has those thoughts, and then right afterwards they think, oh, that's horrible. They look around to make sure that no one saw them think that. And then they push it down into their mind and they never tell anyone about it.
Right.
A comedian has a horrible thought, and afterwards they think, oh my gosh, that's terrible. I can't believe I thought that. Where's a pen?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be standing in front of a group of 150 strangers tomorrow, and I need to tell everybody about this. So that's the difference between a comedian and a normal person.
Yeah, a comedian is always supposed to address the elephant in the room.
Yes, that's right.
I've yet been to a comedy venue when there was an elephant.
You know what? I've also never been to a comedy venue where they brought tomatoes with them to throw at me when I wasn't funny.
Yeah, and
it happens always, in the movies.
And here's the thing. Everybody talks about doing it.
Yeah, they do.
One of these times, I'm going to bring some tomatoes and throw them at you. And I'm
exactly.
Yeah. Whoever came up with that in the first place?
I don't. Well, you know, I think what it was.
Vaudeville?
It's like back when, you know, it was just like traveling fairs, going to little villages, and people would be walking home, and, you know, they would buy their vegetables out there also, and they'd be walking home from buying vegetables from a local farmer or something. Oh, there's a fair in town, and they stop by, and they've got their groceries there with them. You know, they got the bags with the tomatoes and stuff, and so they have the stuff there with them anyways because they were on their way home from what passed for a grocery store back in the Middle Ages.
Right.
And so they had the tomatoes to throw at you if you suck.
Nah.
But of course, as Mitch Hedberg once said, what if they really like tomatoes?
Yeah, and here's...
Now you're just encouraging them.
Here's the thing. Food at that time was used as a barter system, so it was like they were throwing money up on stage.
Yeah, exactly. Food was a lot more scarce back in the Middle Ages. Rich people had all they want, but the poor people, you know, it was like subsistence farming, and, you know, if you have a bad harvest, you might starve to death. So someone gives you a tomato, it's like, thank you.
Thank you.
It's a little rotten, but, you know, I'll just cut that part off. It's no big deal. Yeah. This other side, it's squished because that's the part that hit me in the face.
But that's still edible.
It's good. It's edible.
Yeah.
So, yes, exactly.
So if you're going to heckle us at a show and you have no tomatoes, please throw money at us.
And we'll go buy some tomatoes.
Yes. We'll get tomatoes with that.
Okay. All right. Let's go into some of the more newsish type stuff. Let's do our 559 text of the week.
Okay.
Okay. As I discussed earlier, every week, not every week, but often, I go to a website called textfromlastnight.com. I look up the 559 area code because that's where I'm from, and I find a text message to talk about. And the text message I found for this week, this is the 559 text of the week. It was like Die Hard, except with more penises.
That has to be Mike.
Mike?
Magic Mike.
Who's Mike?
Magic Mike. Magic Mike, the movie with strippers.
Magic Mike, the movie with strippers. I'm not familiar with that one.
What's that guy's name? He's the hot new action star. He was in G.I. Joe.
I saw G.I. Joe, but I don't know which character.
Channing Tatum.
Oh, 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
He played opposite, he was the tall guy in good shape. I can't remember Okay, yeah.
Channing Tatum.
21 Jump Street was freaking hilarious.
I heard it was fantastic. I've yet to watch it, and I love the show.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious.
I heard the fact that it made fun of itself being a remake.
Oh, exactly. It did. It was.
The best part of it.
Ice-T playing the head of the department. As they're in the old burned out church, I was like, "Yeah, we're reviving an old program from the '80s because nobody can come up with any new ideas, so they're just recycling old ideas and hoping nobody notices." I was like this movie exactly.
And the other guy,
and
was...
then of course Johnny Depp and what's his name appear at the end of the movie.
Oh, sweet!
And now they're agents for they're narcotics agents and. And they get killed.
Oh man,
it was awesome.
Matthew McConaughey is the other guy, and they played male strippers. And Matthew McConaughey is the late aged male stripper.
Oh,
Which I would think it was ironic if it was the first movie that Matthew McConaughey kept his shirt on in.
Because
he'll be in like a corporate meeting in some movie.
Yeah, he'll be in a corporate meeting in a movie. It's like
he'll be like, you know what? We're losing our money. We're losing in this bull market. We need to sell. We're losing our shirts. Next thing you know.
Yes, we're losing our shirts. Exactly. Well, you know, it was like Date Night. Remember Date Night? Mm-mm. Yeah. It starred Tina Fey.
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg is there.
I got an idea. Why don't we all put our shirts on?
Because he's at home and he's just sitting there with his shirt off the whole time for no reason. He's just at home. Now I'll be honest with you. I'm in a one bedroom apartment. I live by myself. I walk around naked half the time.
Me too.
I don't have a body to walk around naked when other people are around, so I don't do it when other people are around. But you know, if I do have clothes on. You know, and honestly, it's not just because, you know, I feel I'm a closet exhibitionist or anything. It's because I'm always freaking hot as hell. I mean, even right now, I'm a little uncomfortably warm, and I've got the AC set for 68 degrees.
By the way,
I have my shirt off just because it's cooler.
I think the terminology closet exhibitionist cancels each other out.
Well, that's what makes it funny. You can't be a closet exhibitionist.
You can't be a closet exhibitionist.
If you're in the closet, exhibiting yourself to your coat?
Yeah, which I've got some nice nice coats that I'd like to show my stuff to.
Oh, if we could only see what the shawl have seen, we would be throwing up right now.
But so it's like Die Hard, but with more penises.
It's like Die Hard, but with more penises.
I'm seeing nuts run across the floor with broken glass. And it's just like, ow.
I don't know. You would be hard-pressed to come up with a movie with more metaphorical penises than Die Hard, though. Not literal penises.
Okay, the building is a phallic
metaphorical symbol. Penises. The building is a phallic symbol. And when the explosion goes up on the helipad, that's like
an orgasm.
But, you know, everyone is so macho and I'm tougher than you and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's what I mean. Like, metaphorically, it's a heavily testosterone-induced ride. So, yes, you would be hard-pressed to have Die Hard with more penises. But we're going to take a break again real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with Danny Minch.
Hi.
We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics.
Bitter.
And we're back. All right. I don't know if we're going to get to any of the news this week, but let's go ahead and do the list that I found. Terry Michaels likes lists, so every week he tries to get me to come up with a list. Of course, Terry Michaels isn't here again, but I have a list in Terry Michaels' honor.
Yay, Terry!
From SmashingList.com, these are the 10 biggest box office flops of all time. So movies that lost lots and lots and lots of money.
Are we going in descending order?
Yes, we're
the one that
I guess it depends on how you look at it. But
the one that made the most money first to the one that lost the most.
Yeah, number one will be the one that lost the most money of all time.
Okay,
so the 10th most losing money movie of all time is Stealth.
I liked Stealth.
I never saw Stealth, but it looked kind of cool. But, of course, it's about an airplane with an artificial intelligence in it that goes crazy and starts blowing shit up.
Yeah.
And then human beings have to go up in planes to try to shoot it down.
Right.
So Jamie Foxx, Josh Lucas, Jessica Biel, Sam Shepard, and Richard Roxburgh. It was directed by Rob Cohen, who was also the director of Fast and Furious and Triple X.
It kind of had that feel to it, too.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't believe it lost that much money.
Yeah, it lost $117.7 million. I assume...
Special effects.
I assume that's the movie's cost to make plus marketing expenses minus box office draw.
Okay.
It doesn't specifically say...
I'm assuming that, too.
But I'm assuming because that, to me, that's, okay, all the money spent, and including marketing it, minus the money brought in.
Right.
Okay, number nine... we're going back to 1980 for this one, Heaven's Gate. The movie was based on the Johnson County War. It was a dispute between land barons and a European immigrant. I have no idea what that story was, but...
How much did it cost to make?
It doesn't say, but it lost $114.3 million. You know, I've never heard of a movie costing over $100 million until Waterworld. I thought that was the first $100 million movie. But for this to have lost $114.3 million, I guess this was the first $100 million movie. Because I can't imagine that they spent more than $14.3 million promoting this movie in 1980.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's got a great cast. Kris Kristofferson, Christopher Walken, Isabel Huppert, Jeff Bridges, and John Hurt. United Artists was responsible for distributing the film. It only earned about $3 million domestically, and it says it contributed to the collapse of United Artists in a major way. And also destroyed the reputation of Michael Cimino, who was the director of the film.
And hence, I don't know who he is.
I don't know either, but I never saw that movie either. But number eight, the Speed Racer movie, came out in 2008. Did you see that?
I enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it? Okay. It lost $114.5 million.
I can understand why people didn't enjoy it, though. It was very pop culture, and yeah. It was very very bright and cartoonish, but I thought...
From the previews, it looked like that, and I remember seeing the previews and thinking, no one is going to want to go see this movie because it looks so fake.
Yeah, and that was what it was going for, is to look... this incredibly fake, but I thought it was an interesting take on Speed Racer.
I never saw it, so I can't comment on that. Number seven, I don't understand this one. Not because it lost money, but because how could you possibly lose $124.2 million on a rom-com with no special effects, romantic comedy?
Okay.
What are you spending money on? And then I look at some of the stars in here. Warren Beatty, Diane Keaton, Goldie Hawn, Gary Shandling. I imagine each of those people probably got a fortune to be in it. I mean, they probably spent $80 million just on salaries for those guys. But it was released in 2001 and lost $124.4 million. Town and Country, romantic comedy, and is one of the biggest money-losing films in American cinema. I don't understand how you drop $124 million on a romantic comedy.
And it was called Town and Country?
Town and Country.
Never heard of it.
Neither have I. Number six. This is the first one on the list that I've seen. And this truly is one of the best action movies and definitely one of the best period pieces I've ever seen. 13th Warrior.
Fantastic
movie. Awesome movie.
Read the
awesome
book.
Awesome movie.
It's called Eaters of the Dead is the name of the book.
Written by John Grisham.
Yeah.
John Grisham?
Well, actually translated by John Grisham. It was actually another guy who wrote the book in whatever time period it was.
1200s or something.
And was it John Grisham that translated? It wasn't John
Grisham.
I'm sorry.
Michael Crichton.
Michael Crichton. Oh, yeah. Michael Crichton translated it.
Yeah. 13th Warrior was released in 1999 and lost $137.1 million.
Really?
Historical action film starring Antonio Banderas and Vladimir Kulich. Antonio Banderas is the only name in here. I'm just going to throw a number out there just because I'm guessing.
$50 million.
He probably got $10 million.
Really? Yeah, I can't see him getting more than that in any movie.
Yeah. So where, and you know, it's, there's a lot of props that I see they have to do. They've got a lot of guys building the armor and all of that stuff. But I don't understand where $137 million gets spent on this. There wasn't that much special effects, not a whole lot of computer CGI stuff. But
there was a lot of costuming. There was a lot of set
design. A lot
of
costuming. I guess costuming and set design must have been the money. But that was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
It was an outstanding film.
And if you get a chance to read the book Eaters of the Dead, it is a fantastic book.
Yeah, read Eaters of the Dead. All of Michael Crichton's stuff that I've read is really great. So
I don't think it was his, though.
Well, it says it was based on the novel Eaters of the Dead by Michael Crichton. He, you know, he might have
translated it from another story.
Translated it from another story or revised.
As a matter of fact,
thing,
there was a lot of stuff in it about archaeological. The stuff that he put in the book was the side notes to the archaeological findings that they found on these people that he's talking about.
Okay.
Which was really interesting because, like, The Vikings were known as the largest people on the face of the planet at the time.
Yeah.
5'6" was their average height.
5'6".
Right.
You know, that's one thing I got to say about the United States. Our average height is like 4 or 5 inches taller than any other country in the world.
Because we eat so much protein.
Well, protein or is it the growth hormones in the meat? Because, you know, I think it's both, honestly. It's a combination of the two. Growth hormones that get put in the meat and end up in our milk and all that. And then all the protein that we eat. I think that's why we're so much bigger. And that's man for man, that's why our soldiers are so much better beyond, you know, oh, the better training. We're bigger than they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier. Everyone's using guns. Yeah, but it's easier for us to handle the gun because we're bigger.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And we can handle bigger guns.
Yeah.
With fewer people.
Yeah. But 13th Warrior, great movie.
Great. Chance to check great it out. Movie.
Number 5, Mars Needs Moms.
It's an animated feature.
It was released in 2011 and lost $140.5 million.
I can understand. Because it was completely CGI. Cartoons are a lot harder to make, especially digital.
It's based on the Berkeley Brothers, Berkeley's Breed book of the same name. Berkeley Breed, that's a guy from Opus and Bloom County.
Bloom County, yeah.
The movie is centered on a 9-year boy. It is the worst grossing movie ever to be released by Walt Disney. Good for them. I never saw that movie either.
I feel sorry for Walt Disney now that they actually lost money. Boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo. Yeah, you know what? I don't feel sorry for Walt Disney. Actually, you know what? I hate the fact that Disney just bought out Marvel.
Which is... I'm mixed with it.
Well, you know, it's just that I see so much consolidation everywhere. And I hate that.
Well, I noticed when they did the Avengers, they started a new Avengers... At the very month that Disney bought the Avengers, I mean, the Marvel, they started a new Avengers comic book with Spider-Man, Wolverine, Storm, Captain America. Everybody who was in a movie at the time was now an Avenger, and Blade. They all became, and I'm like, okay, so they all have movie contracts, so they want to put them all together in a super group. So that they'll sell more comics because these are the people in the comic books.
It's
that
called
people,
synergy.
Yeah, that people know. So they'll see them as Avengers and they'll buy the comic book.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. You know, I used to collect comic books and it just got too expensive.
When I collected comic books, they were 20 cents.
Yeah, I mean, when I collected them, I was in high school and it was like 75 cents an issue. And then after a year, it went up to like $1.50. And a year or two after that, it went up to like $3.
Yeah, they're like $4, sitting at $4 now.
Yeah, you know what? And I really enjoyed reading them. And I would actually like to start reading some of them again. And I don't have that kind of...
Cause, I had 2,000 of them at one point.
Yeah.
And then my kids have them now. But I love them. I love them, but they're just too much of... They're just too much.
Yeah, too expensive. And okay, number 4, Sahara, released in 2005. It Matthew McConaughey.
He took his shirt off.
Yeah, he took his shirt off. Despite this, the movie suffered a net loss of $144.9 million. It's an action comedy adventure film directed by Breck Eisner, and that is what people would say is the problem, I think. With this film and many of the films on this list is... and Adam Carolla was talking about this. He had a film out called The Hammer. Did you ever see that?
The boxer movie?
Yeah, he played a boxer. And some marketing guy from a movie company said, oh, you got a tweener here. And he's like, well, what's a tweener? I said, well, it's not really a sports movie, and it's not really a comedy. It's not really a romantic comedy. It's not really an action movie. It's kind of a combination, so it's a tweener, and we don't know how to market them. And I think that was the problem with Sahara, is that they couldn't figure out how to market it because, you know, they have this program on how you market a comedy, and they have this program on how you market an action movie, and if something is a comedy action movie, they just don't know what to do with themselves. And so they just kind of, marketing just kind of gives up on it. They put some commercials out there and let
them. Yeah.
Because I hardly heard about this movie when it came out.
It seems real familiar to me. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I've seen it.
Well, I have seen it, and I did enjoy it. It wasn't great, but it was good.
What was it about?
They find out about an ironclad that belonged to the Confederacy that somehow ended up crash landing in Africa with a whole bunch of gold on board.
Why does that sound like a book I've read?
I don't know.
Who wrote, who, what was the
book? Okay, here it is. It's based on the best-selling book that goes by the same name. So Sahara is the name of the book also, written by Clive Cussler.
That's why it sounds so. Clive Cussler is one of the worst book writers of all times.
Well,
he always puts himself in the book.
I haven't read the book, but
the
movie wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
I've seen it, and I read the book, and I was like, oh, wow, look, in the book, Clive Cussler is making himself a character in the book, named Clive Cussler.
That's lazy.
Yeah, and he does that in, like, almost all of his books.
You know what? If you're writing a book or a movie or anything else, and you can't think of a good name for a person, pick up a phone book, open up a random page, and plop your finger on a spot and use that name.
Unless you want to use a white person's name, because you don't always want to go with a Mexican.
Well, then you just open to a different page. Open to a random page until you find a name you like.
Or, go to the white pages.
No, go to the white pages. And then... That wasn't racist.
Oh, not at all.
I'm going to have to apologize to phone books next week. number 3, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. I actually enjoyed that movie.
I never saw it, but I heard it was really bad.
I mean, it was a comedy. It was kind of dumb, but it was funny.
It brought Eddie Murphy down low for a long time.
Eddie Murphy, he plays a nightclub owner on the moon, and there you go. It's Eddie Murphy's worst grossing movie ever, losing 144. How much was it? $145.9 million.
Wow.
Number 2, The Alamo, released in 2004, lost $146.6 million. American war film about the Battle of the Alamo. Here's a hint, guys. Don't put out a movie in American theaters where the Americans lose.
They lost?
In the Battle of Alamo.
I guess I don't remember the Alamo.
I guess not. And number 1, once again, a movie that I've seen that I thought was great. Cutthroat Island.
Love that movie.
It was an awesome movie. It was a lot of fun. It was real reach as far as the story and believableness, but it's a freaking pirate movie. Yeah. What do you want?
I want all the other Pirates of the Caribbean movie after the first one to be as good as that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be not. It would be great.
And those movies grossed plenty.
Yeah.
And they sucked ass. The first one was great.
The first one was great, and the others were they were okay. They were fun enough to watch, but they were not.
The second one was like pulling teeth to me. The third one had some cinematography I thought was brilliant. When the guy walks out on the ship and it's being blown up, and he's the bad guy, and it's just like he knows he's gonna go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everything's just being blown apart around him. I thought that was a really cool scene.
That was a cool scene. But yeah, it lost $147.2 million. The action adventure, directed by Rennie Harlan, starring Gina Davis, Matthew Modine, and Frank Langella.
And Gina Davis did an amazing job in that movie. And that's hard for me to say that Gina Davis did really well in something, because she had
not a fan of hers.
I was a fan of hers for about 15 minutes, and then she just got into this. She just seemed so bitter after a while. Every role she got into was, "I'm a bitter woman."
Well, the movies of hers that I remember are Cutthroat Island and The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Which
I really enjoyed both of those movies.
Long Kiss Goodnight is dated, though. If you go back and watch it again, which I did, and you'll start seeing how cheesy it is.
Yeah, that's true. But she was the first woman, in my opinion, to be good at playing the tough guy.
Yeah.
You know, every other movie I've seen where some woman is supposedly beating people up, I'm always like, come on, really? This girl is 8 inches shorter than the guy, 8 inches shorter and 150 pounds lighter than the guy that she just knocked out with one punch. You know, okay, I can accept that she's fast and she might be able to beat the guy up using some cool maneuvers and stuff, but she's not going to walk up and just punch the dude out like that. That's insane.
Yeah,
you know,
unless
it's like,
she's precious.
The girl playing the Black Widow in the
Scarlett Johansson in Avengers.
They're doing those fight scenes in a way where I can believe that she would be able to beat the guy.
Yeah, she's going around the neck.
Yeah, she's using all these acrobatics. She's hitting vital points, like messing with their necks and stuff, and using all these cool weapons.
She's tying them up, right? Yeah, and she's electrocuting half of them.
But,
and they make her character viable as, I use violence as a very, very last resort.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
try to mess with your mind as much as I possibly can. And then, if I have to, I'm going to kick your ass.
Well, we're not going to have time to get into the news stories. One thing that I would like to point out, I talked a little bit about the healthcare decision that came out of the Supreme Court on the last episode. And one other thing I want to point out that I realized when I was reading about when I was reading the actual decision, part of that healthcare decision is that states can now opt out of the expansion of Medicare that's in the healthcare law. Are you following me so far?
Not really.
Okay. Well, see, the Supreme Court said that the federal government is not allowed to use money from one program to force states to do a separate thing. That's basically the decision that they made. Now, we can argue that, well, they're just expanding the existing Medicare. And see, the healthcare law says if you don't accept the expansion of Medicare, you lose all of your money from the other part of Medicare you were getting before. And Supreme Court says, no, that's too coercive, forcing states to do things they don't want to do. So you can't use money in one program to force people to do another thing. Now, if that's the case, then I think all the states need to lower their drinking age back to 18. Because back in the 80s, when Ronald Reagan was president, they passed a law that said you lose all your highway funding funds if you don't raise the drinking age to 21. Several states sued. It got to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said no, they can do that because they're related. And I have to say that Medicare and an expansion of Medicare are far more closely related than freeway funding and the drinking age.
Right.
So it seems to me that the states that sued to be able to keep their drinking age at 18 way back in the 80s...
Louisiana.
They need to file suit again and take that back to the Supreme Court because the precedent that was used has now been decided, no, that's no good anymore, and we need to lower the drinking age back down to 18. Not that I feel like drinking, and even if I did, I'm 40, so it doesn't matter to me. But it just how... You know... These guys going into this, saying they're going up to the Supreme Court, they're always asked, one question that they're always asked is what they think of the concept of stare decisis, which means what do you think of existing precedent? And they always say the same thing. I think we should follow existing precedent. And then they get on the court and the precedent comes up that they don't like and they just ignore the precedent and make the new decision.
So the health care that is going through now.
Mm-hmm.
And when does that...
Unless the state that you're in decides that they don't want to accept the new money, then they can just stick with what they currently have.
And then they won't get any more of the
funds. But, I mean, this is California. They're going to take the new stuff.
They're going to take the new stuff, and it's going to... Because it's new and different and... Well, I mean...
And better, actually, yeah.
What I don't understand, you know me, I'm a political knucklehead.
Well, not knucklehead, it's just you don't pay attention to it because you just don't care.
Right. And my thing is, when I interject, it's usually I'm interjecting as a guy who's from a naive standpoint.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually giving my full opinion, I'm almost asking a question when I do.
Yeah.
That being said, I've heard a lot of people screaming socialism because of healthcare.
Yeah.
But isn't... And then there's afraid we're going to go over to a socialized country. But isn't our school system socialized?
Yes.
And nobody has a problem with that.
A lot of people have a problem with it, actually.
Really?
But, you know,
but the majority are...
It's dumb people who have a problem with it. Okay, here's the thing. Finland has the highest rated public education system in the world. You know what they did? About 10, 15 years ago, they banned private schools. Everyone goes to public school now.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, like all the people with money here in America send their kids to private schools. So they don't give a fuck what happens to the public schools. And now the public schools go to shit. If their kids were going to the private schools, then the people with the money and the political power would be making sure that the private schools are good so that their kids would be doing well.
Okay, because I went to a private school yesterday to watch a film.
Oh, okay.
And it was Clovis International. Have you been to this school?
No.
Oh, my God. I don't know how they can build one school like this for these kids and then have, you know, Buchanan.
Yeah.
And they're wildly, wildly different.
Yes.
How is that possible?
This is how rich people get their kids into a better school.
But it's a public school.
Yep.
It makes no sense to me.
Well, this ends up as a really long conversation, so okay. We don't have time to go through
but
it all.
What I'm saying here is people that are upset by, and this is my statement as a question, people that are upset about socialized medicine, which every other country, a free country in existence, Canada, France, Sweden, all of them have and are doing very well with.
Yes. We have the most expensive healthcare system in the country. We're spending something like 18 or 19% of gross domestic product on healthcare, and we have way down at the bottom as far as results. You know, America has the best healthcare in the world.
We don't.
If you can afford it, yeah. Then how come all of these Saudi billionaires are coming to the United States for care? Because they can pay for it.
Yeah.
If you don't have a bunch of money, the healthcare here sucks because we don't actually have a system. No one ever set up a system. Some company decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to build a hospital, and they build a hospital. There's no system.
Right. And what I think what caused our healthcare system to be so bad is capitalism. Because the more people are sick, the more the companies are going to make money. So they're making people seem as sick as they possibly can make them. Because they're making ridiculous amounts of money on pharmaceuticals and that kind of stuff. So if the government stepped in and said, hey, look, we're going to go like everybody, every other country that you're selling pharmaceuticals for and you're doing fine, we're gonna all make out better.
Well, if I somehow got into Congress, what I would do is start pushing the minimum age for Medicare down. One of the first things I would do when I got into Congress would be to put in a bill to lower the Medicare age from 65 to 55. And then I'd wait like 5 years and then put in another bill to lower it from 55 to 45. And I would just keep pushing it down because of CNN actually recently just did a big long special. They went all over the world, looked at all kinds of healthcare systems, and the ones that they found that had the best results and the lowest cost were the ones that had a single payer system where there was one organization that's paying for everything, which Medicare would be, and then private providers. So privately owned hospitals, individual doctors who are small businessmen and own their own practice. So all of the healthcare providing is private and being paid for by a single organization that is then able to look at, okay, what is the best way to do this? Because like if you show up at the hospital and you show up at a mechanic, your car is making a specific noise and there's a specific fluid coming out of it, the mechanic should look at that, be able to tell what's wrong and know exactly what they need to do to fix it, right? Okay, a human walks into a hospital, they have specific symptoms, and a doctor should be able to look at that, know what kind of tests they need to do in order to find out exactly what's wrong. But instead of doing that,
they give you
the doctor will give you all kinds of tests because he gets to charge the insurance company or you for each test that he orders. So
and
every
he gets
test,
kickbacks from that, by the way.
Yeah, every test he can justify, he does, because that's what's going to get him the most money. And the people that are conducting tests are probably giving him kickbacks in order to get more tests done. And then, of course, the insurance company then comes in and denies coverage, and then you get a bill. Because the insurance company says, well, that wasn't necessary. And you, just like with your car, I don't know about you personally. I'm just going to assume you don't know how to fix a car.
I don't.
Okay. So if you go to a mechanic and you have to get the car fixed, you have to just take his word for it.
Right.
And so do I. Well, if you go to a doctor and he tells you what's wrong, you have to take his word for it because you don't know how to fix your body. And now the problem is the insurance company is the one who's supposed to be paying for your health care. They come in and they have their experts and they say, well, you didn't need this test, so we're not going to pay for it. But you've already had the test done and you had no way to know that it wasn't necessary. How are you supposed to know?
You're not an expert.
The insurance company won't pay for it. Now you got to pay for this test that the doctor shouldn't have given you in the first place. And of course, how do you even know that the insurance company is being honest? Maybe the insurance company is lying. They just decided they don't want to pay for it because we don't feel we should have to pay for this, or we're making up excuses to try to lower our costs.
Right.
You know, I saw this thing about talking about healthcare and health insurance companies where this one woman who handles claims, she said one of the instructions she was given is the first time you get a claim from someone, you automatically deny.
Right.
And you send it back and you make them resubmit. And then the second time they put it in, then you look at it. because some of those people will just say fuck it and not submit it again, and now they just saved a whole bunch of money because they
The Incredibles. You ever see the movie The Incredibles?
No, I haven't.
The one of the superhero becomes an insurance agent, and he starts. He's the outlaw superhero is kind of like in Watchmen.
Okay.
And now he has to get a real job, and he's in insurance. But he still wants to help people, so every time somebody comes to him, he gives them the right forms to fill out and everything. Yeah. And his boss, who he ends up throwing through a wall, is pissed at him for doing his job properly.
Yeah.
Because he's costing the company, they're supposed to be paying out in the first place.
Right.
And that's what America has become.
Yeah, that's America's healthcare system. Yeah. Because we rely on all kinds of private insurance companies.
The people that are complaining about it are the very, very wealthy.
Well, it's actually the people who are complaining the loudest are the ones who would benefit the most from this. It's like of the 10 states that, okay, right now how Medi-Cal works is the state gets to decide who is eligible for it. And what they do is they say, okay, if you make this percentage of poverty or less, then you're eligible for Medicare or for Medicaid funding.
All right.
Okay. And the state gets to decide what that percentage is. In the new healthcare bill, everyone's level moves up to 133% of poverty. Well, right now, Texas, their percentage is like 28% of poverty level. So if you're making like $3,000 a year or less as a single person, then you're eligible for Medicaid. Well, no one is eligible for Medicaid under that. No one is. If you're making $3,000 a year or less, you have not, that's not even going to cover rent on a studio apartment in the cheapest city in the world.
All right, you're living in a box.
Yeah, you're living in a box in the middle in an alley somewhere. So basically, nobody is eligible for Medicaid. So. And each state gets to set their own percentage, and of the 10 states whose percentage is being moved up the most, and so they're going to get the most more money from the government, 9 of them are states that voted for McCain in 2008. So, Howard Dean, he used to be the chairman of the Democratic Party. He was Democratic governor of Vermont. I think it was Vermont. And he ran for president in 2000. He was talking about this on TV the other day, and he's like, and he said, that's okay because we want to help people. It's helping Republican states more than Democratic states.
Yeah.
It was passed by Democrats, and Democrats are saying that's okay because we want to help people. Okay, I'm going to make my partisan statement here. Republicans, I want you to think about that. What Republican politician, if Democrats were benefiting more than Republicans, would say, that's okay, we want to help people?
And that's what I think we should do, is help people. And here's my thing. If everybody had health care, the health care would start getting rid of the people that don't really that are going there for no reason anyway.
Well, I mean, they wanted to set up panels of doctors who would determine what best practices are. You know, I was talking about, well, if you have these symptoms, what is the test that you
need? It's WebMD.
And then the Republican Party started calling that death panels.
Ah,
and that got thrown out of the bill.
That's ridiculous.
So every time you heard about death panels, that's what they were talking about. It wasn't death panels. It was doctors...
procedure panels.
...figuring out best practices. Because you know what? If someone goes in there because they bumped their head and they have a cut on their head, they don't need an MRI.
No.
But a doctor... the doctors will say, well, I'm afraid of getting a lawsuit if I don't do one in case there's a concussion. So then they order an MRI. He didn't need an MRI. He just needed a couple of stitches.
Yeah. And here's my thing. The healthcare system they're putting in is broken on many levels.
Yeah.
And I agree with anybody that says there's problems in it. But it's brand new.
Yeah.
Whenever you see a new anything, until it's gotten out there and driven around a while, people aren't going to know exactly what's working and what's not. But we have to have something. So put it out there and then start fixing it.
Yeah, and the healthcare bill will not be fully implemented until 2014. So not even... everything isn't even in yet. So...
Well, I can't wait, because then I can quit my job.
It's not healthcare.
Well, you've been working at your job for, what, 25 years now?
Yeah, 25 years, and I'm one of the people that don't care, shouldn't care that other people have healthcare. Yeah. But I want
You have healthcare from your job.
Yeah, for 25 years.
So you know what? That means this is not going to affect you at all.
Okay.
The healthcare bill isn't going to affect you because you already have healthcare.
I still want to see other people with healthcare.
Yes.
And I think it's very important that the kids that I see coming in to my store who I know don't have healthcare, they can be educated the same as my kid, but they can't have the same kind of healthcare. To me, that's bullshit. That kid, and to me, the kid level is where I start everything.
Yeah.
That kid should have the same healthcare as every other kid.
Yeah.
And it's important. I don't care about the adults as much as I care about the kids. But everybody should have that opportunity to have health care. And that kid deserves to have that health care.
Yeah, everybody does.
And I shouldn't even care about this because I've had health care my entire life.
Yeah. Well, we're like 20 minutes over.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. We kind of got off on the health care thing.
What a tangent.
Yeah. Oh, hey, thanks for coming to do the show.
Thank you.
It was great to have you.
Way better than the last podcast I was on with you.
Yeah, yeah, you're doing a podcast now. You're doing the Dirty Dowdy podcast Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock?
Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. 8:30. You can go to longbox.fm. It replays, or you can go to the website, the Dirty Dowdy website, and catch up on past episodes. And you can also go to iTunes and pick it up on iTunes. I am going to be Dirty Dowdy for the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, he's working on building some kind of thing.
Yeah, the longbox.fm, which is all local music and local content from the Valley. He's putting a lot of effort into it, a lot of stuff into it. And then I will be having my own podcast, which is a spinoff from the Dirty Dowdy podcast. Yeah. When he comes back on, it's going to be me, Marcus Miranda, Nate Fallon, and some female that I'm not sure of yet. But I can't have my girlfriend on the show.
Because he wants his show.
He wants my girlfriend on his show.
You better keep an eye on that guy. Dirty Dowdy's doing you dirty.
Yeah, and it's televised live on Wednesday at 8:30. So if you want to actually watch us, you can actually see us get drunk and talk about stuff. Not me, but everybody else gets drunk.
All right, cool. Well, and I'll put a link to where you can find the podcast in the show notes as well. You can find me, of course, bittercomics.podbean.com. Check out my YouTube videos. Just look up JT Foreman 7. JT Foreman's Bitter Comedy, I believe, is the channel name. And come out to the open mic Monday nights at Ty Palms. I try to make it to those.
Thursday at Fat Boys.
Thursday at Fat Boys. Was it the first and third?
No more.
Tuesday? No more. Not doing that anymore?
They canceled that out. I think they're moving it to Sunday. They're going to have an open mic on Sunday there in the near future at Fulton 55. And then various other places around town. Me and JT are performing.
Friend me on Facebook, and I try to post on there anytime I'm going to be performing stand-up comedy around town. So.
Yeah, and friend Danny Minch on Facebook, Danny Minch fan book page. I also have a fan page for St. Stan the Raider fan, and you can also just on YouTube, Danny Minch, and on Funny or Die, Mini Chuck Norris.
Yes. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks again for doing the podcast. I appreciate it.
I love it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. I am JT Foreman here with Danny, the blue comedian, Danny Minch.
Hi.
We were the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Peace.